But today we want to talk about the end. That was the beginning, this is going to be the end. And what the scriptures tell us about the last time, about the last days. It's important for us to understand the Lord wants to reveal himself to us and wants us to understand his plan. So I want to say this to you today, that God has a plan. Amen. It's not up in the air. It's not whatever, you know, like the common word in today's generation, whatever. It's not whatever. God has a plan. He's got a specific purpose. He's got a timeline he's following. Everything is in order as he has put it. Man has no effect on God's plan. He has his plan right from the beginning. It's written. And if you remember from last week, we talked about the description of the universe given by science, which is that which contains everything. Whatever has existed in the past, what exists today, and what will possibly exist in the future. The universe contains it all at the same time. That's the scientific description. And it also coincides with the scriptures describing God, who was, is, and always shall be. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm excited about his word because it doesn't leave me in the dark hoping for something. It literally tells me what he's doing, and I want to share those things with you. So we're going to talk about the signs of Christ's return, and in particular, the two resurrections. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible gives us a clear understanding of the church in our generation. And I've been teaching this for some time. I've been teaching it in Africa and so on, that the church is coming to a place that the Lord has spoken about in prophecy in the Old Testament scriptures that, God willing, will declare openly next week. And this is it. Hebrews 6, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, or the teachings of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Let's move forward. You know, this is a perfect shadow and type of Israel, which was wandering the wilderness for 40 years. Day after day, up there, up and down, they had their trials, they went down, they never moved forward for 40 years. And as the church is today, basically circling around the principles of the doctrine of Christ, which is forgiveness, the blood of Jesus Christ, which washes away our sins, sin, repentance, sin, repentance. That's the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And so the Bible is instructing us to go on. It's time to go on. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith to go toward God. And then it describes what's next when we move on. When we get beyond sinning and repenting, repetitious, the Lord has more for us to do. And it says the very next thing is the doctrine or the teaching of baptisms. And I have a lot I want to talk to you about as far as a revelation of water baptism according to the scriptures. My eyes really have been opened in regards to that. And the other, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the Most Holy Spirit, as I like to call it. And it says, and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead, the teaching of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So we need to move on. Basically, that's what the Bible's saying. Look, it's time to move on. And God's plan is that we should move on, that he's going to empower us to go forward. He's going to open our eyes. He wants to teach us. He wants us to understand, because it's about the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, of resurrection of dead and eternal judgment. And our teaching today, our salvation, is centered around the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and his triumphant return to take his church to be with him in heaven. I want to say that to you because I don't think that it's in our hearts and minds enough that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. You know, if you're on a bed in the hospital dying, perhaps your thoughts will be more toward that. But if you're just going on in your life and everything seems to be okay, or even you're dealing with your struggles, it's not in your heart and your mind that God raised Jesus from the dead. Yet that's what needs to take over our thoughts. The resurrection of Christ and the power to resurrect that he has given his people. It's in us, or it should be in us. So our salvation, everything that we believe, is centered around the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Remember that. Everything that we believe hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In fact, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 explains to us that we cannot have salvation unless we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. We have to have faith to believe, not just say, well, yeah, I believe that something, which, you know, we'll talk about in a few minutes, but to know it, to live it. It has to be a part of us because the day's coming. And we are water baptized to identify with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? We go down to the waters of baptism. There's a water tank right there. You're buried with Christ. It's an operation of faith that you believe. You're buried with Christ. You die to your old self, and you rise in newness of life. You're resurrected. But again, that's another teaching that I am so looking forward to teach you. Romans chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4. It says this. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was of that lineage. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. The power of our salvation is that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? So we see it describes it so clearly. He was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. As many religions hold, he is a good man, a prophet even. Talked a lot of good things. But we have to move on to the next part of this, which says, and declared to be the Son of God with power. How? By the resurrection from the dead. So our power comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We could go back over those things. When Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, was glorified, came back to the earth, stood on the earth and told his disciples, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the power that he gained from the resurrection, defeating the enemy, defeating death. When Jesus rose from the dead, he defeated death. He killed death. There isn't anything else or anyone else or any other power that has overcome death. Only Christ. Christ is the overcomer of death. Yes, you can get excited about that. Because you and I are going to face the death challenge one day. Amen? Would you agree that all men die? And we're trying to make it as long as we can these days, I'm telling you. And they're doing not too bad, but every time they discover a cure for something, something else comes along. So we always have this struggle to try to hold on to life. But in fact, we'll all die. Unless the Lord comes, of course, while we're alive. Then that'll be a different challenge for us. But we'll all die. So we're all going to face the challenge of death. And the only power that can get us out of the ground is the power that Jesus Christ received when he overcame death, when he conquered death. I thought I'd hear a resounding amen for that. How many want to rise from the dead? Are you sure? You sure you want to get it because it's a restful time in your life? Perhaps. Yes, I don't want to stay. I don't want to stay 6 feet under or in the ocean or anything else. I want to rise up from the dead and I want to live again. Hallelujah, I want to live again. Listen to this scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the Spirit, and it says if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Come on. We talked about dwelling, or maybe... was it last week or the week before? Yes. We will come. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And then what? My Father will love him. Right? I want you to learn that. If a man love me, say it.
If a man love me,
he will keep my words. And my Father will love him.
And my Father will love him.
And we. Yeah, we're gonna make it. We're gonna make your life his home, your body his dwelling place. He's gonna live there. I like to think of that as a permanent dwelling place, not a place where he's just renting from month to month, or some place like a hotel where he visits and then carries on. No, I want you to live there, Lord Jesus. I want you to make your home there. Hallelujah. How many want Jesus to live in their lives? The Bible tells us that our bodies are his temple. If the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make you alive. Make alive your mortal, your dying body. He will make it alive. by his Spirit that lives in you. Not visiting you, not passing by, but the Spirit that lives in you. You know, there's a lot of things that we could say about that. But if the Spirit of God is unwelcome, he's not going to make your body his residence. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes.
But if you make him welcome, he wants to make that his home. What do you do with somebody who's moved in? The Lord God that made the heavens and the earth, I would say you honor him. You say, "What? How are you doing today, Lord? Anything I can do for you? How about I just start by worshiping you? Because you're awesome." Yes. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you want to go for a walk? What do you feel like doing today? Whatever you want, whatever you need. This is your house. I want you to make yourself at home here.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory. We should be thinking about our salvation in those terms. Because the Bible clearly tells us that. It's not some deep interpretation that can be done a million ways. No, this is his plan. He wants to live in you. It says it in the Old Testament. I'll walk in them. I'll live in them. They shall be my people and I will be their God. Hallelujah. How many would like to have the Lord in their life when they're facing a problem? That's when you want it. Most people, they're just crying out to the Lord because they've got a problem. They're sick, they're ill, they're dying, whatever is going on in their life. Then they cry out to the Lord. Psalm 136. But when you're facing a problem, when you're encountering difficulty, to have the Creator of heaven and earth, all the power is in you. That you have access to God through Jesus Christ, his Son. But make him welcome in your home, in his home, in your body. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, after Jesus is gone, we see the church being established in chapter 2 and 3. People started to receive salvation. And this was the testimony in verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. It says, "With great power gave the apostles witness or a testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." What was their testimony? What were they witnessing to the lost? The resurrection of Jesus. What were they talking about when they got together? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Because every day they lived, they said to one another in encouragement, that he's not dead, that he's alive. That means our hope is in place. Our salvation is sure. There's been no coup d'etat in heaven. He's still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And all the promises are yea and amen.
Amen.
Come on. That's something to dance about. That all the promises that have been made to you are still there. Because he who promised them still has the power and still has the authority. Hallelujah. They gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I love that as a testimony of the church. And in the last days, that early church is going to be restored. In fact, it's going to be more so than what we read in the book of Acts in those chapters. If you have an ear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. This is God's plan. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it more tomorrow. I have such wonderful things that I have not shared with you yet in regards to the scriptures. So exciting and encouraging that speak to us about our time right now. How many want to be encouraged? How many are afraid of the encouragement? Don't be afraid. If the Lord Jesus was here, he would say, fear not. Hallelujah. It's the plan. It's God's plan. It's not mine. It's not some denominational plan. It's his plan according to his word. The hope that lies within each one of us is that when we die, we will be raised up from the dead at the sound of the trumpet, and we will meet Christ Jesus in the air to return with him to heaven. Is that not your hope? It is, isn't it? You know, I got to teach you guys, you got to either say yes or no. Don't be indifferent. That's society. If you believe it, shout it. If you're not sure, then study it. If you don't believe it, say, I don't believe it. But don't be wishy-washy. I don't know what that is. That's some kind of interpretation. Don't be lukewarm. Say what you believe. Confess it. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that? Can you say it out loud? Then say it. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you say it, it gets me excited. Something within me leaps like I'm pregnant. And my baby just heard something. The Spirit inside me witnesses with what you're saying. Hallelujah. And there's an excitement that starts to go. Keep talking and we're liable to get resurrected. Come on. The Word has power. It goes out, doesn't come back empty. It accomplishes what God pleads. Speak the Word only. How are you healed? How are you delivered? How are you saved? According to God's Word. How do you know what's going to happen? It's according to God's Word. Speak the Word. Hallelujah for the Word. Thank you, God, that we have this Word that we can turn to and we can stand on and we can comfort ourselves and we can face any situation in this life with that Word. He's given it to us. Thus saith the Lord. It is written, Jesus said, as he confronted the devil in the wilderness. Hallelujah. It is written. It is written. Thus saith the Lord. This is what it says. Thank you for your Word. I'm standing on the promises of God. The saints used to sing that. Standing on the promises of God, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's trouble? Where is it? Because I have the Word in my hand. The sword of truth. You have trouble, brothers and sisters? Let the Word come out of your mouth. Face it with the power of God. Hallelujah. I was going to say this. You know, I have such a respect for the songs that the saints wrote. Because the majority of them came from suffering, not from feeling. Today we have way too many songs that are based on emotions and not faith. I like to sing faith. I like to sing that. Standing on the promises. That's a song of faith. It might not be flowery and beautiful, and the chords might not be beautiful, but it says what I need to say. Hallelujah. Amen? Be careful what you say. Don't let anything come out of your mouth. Let it be glorifying to the Lord. Let it be encouraging to another. Don't speak about things that you don't know about or things that you're worried about. Don't give voice to those things all the time. Make it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about that. And then you gave it to him. Fine, go on with your life. Let him take care of it. Trust that he'll do it. And he will. He loves to do that stuff. You're his child, for heaven's sake. I think that we just love to worry. I think that we're, after thousands of years inhabiting this planet, we've figured out that worry fixes everything. Because after all those thousands of years, people, worry is still at the top of their, you know, toolkit to deal with stuff. Are you worried? Yeah, I'm worried. Oh, you're dealing with something. Yeah. I'm going to worry it to death. I'm going to worry through that problem. No. You know why? If you don't want to worry, give it to the Lord and really let him have it. I know people give it to the Lord, but then they take it right back again. Lord, I you're big and everything, but I think I better deal with this. I can worry a lot better than you can, which is probably true. But let the Lord deal with it. He wants to show you he's God. He wants to show you how much he loves you. Do you believe that? Amen. He wants to show you how much he cares about your life, where you work, where you live. He wants to show you how much he cares about you. He's just that kind of father. In fact, he said, call me Father. Father God, our Father which art in heaven. Uh-oh. We're getting nowhere but having a great time. So I wanna just reiterate this again because it helps us understand the end. That one day is 1,000 years. And the Lord taught us that. And in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. So for 6 days, God had worked. And he created or recreated the earth. And all the animals and mankind and so on, he made that in those 6 days. And Genesis tells us about that. And on the seventh day, he rested. And God blessed the seventh day. And he sanctified it. He made it a holy day. Because that in it, he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So that seventh day was a day that the Lord did no work. He rested, he sanctified it, he made it a holy day. We know in the Jewish religion and even in Christianity, although there are different days, but we celebrate the seventh day. When I was growing up, we used to not do anything. Nowadays, of course, that's kind of fallen to the wayside. But it used to be that we prepared our food ahead of time Sunday and that we'd all eat together in the church. It was quite a time. And we'd just give that whole day to the Lord. We worshiped. The children had their activities with learning and doing all kinds of things for the Lord. We had a Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening service, and stuff in between. And if we weren't doing anything, we were in the prayer room. That's kind of the church day that it was. It was literally a day for the Lord. And we see that also in the Jewish faith, where they celebrate the Sabbath as the day of rest, and they don't do anything. As the Lord told them when the manna was coming down from heaven, on the sixth day, you can gather double, and it'll be preserved through the seventh day. Whereas if you gathered too much, it just went bad before that. But the Lord wanted to do that. He wants that day. So, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And we need to understand that if we're going to understand the basis of the interpretation of Revelations and in the future, what the prophets speak about. Psalm chapter 90 and verse says, if verse 4 says, "For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday." In fact, he told Adam and Eve when he put them in the garden, he said, "The day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die." But they lived to be 960 years, I think, something like that, 964, 5. So they didn't die in the day they ate of it. But they did die within 1,000 years. So the day they ate of it, they literally died, if we consider it a day with the Lord. Since God rested in the after creation, it's been about 6,000 years, or almost 6,000 years have passed since he last rested. Which means that we're coming to another day where God rests. Amen. And he has a plan for that day. It's an exciting plan. And that'll help us understand Revelation. Now, the Bible scripture talks to us about two resurrections. The first resurrection takes place when Christ returns to receive the church. We could call it the bride. It's often referred to as the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. That the Lord comes in the first resurrection to receive the bride. He doesn't come to the earth. He's in the clouds. And those who are part of his church meet him in the air. That's the first resurrection. The second resurrection will be for all of humanity, all of humankind, if you will, throughout all generations. And they will all be brought to life again and stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for their lives. And some will be raised to the resurrection of life, the scripture says, and some the resurrection of damnation. But I want you to understand this, because I find in discussing with people is misunderstood or taken improperly, that the church, the bride of Christ, in the first resurrection will not stand before the judgment seat. There was no judgment for the bride of Christ. I don't know, you know, I mean, just common sense, never mind looking in the scriptures, that Christ isn't coming for a bride that he has to first judge. He's coming for someone who's longing to be with him, who's literally in love with him, talking about him every day, you know, just thinking about it, dressed, just waiting, putting on the most beautiful wedding garments and all the trappings of marriage, because that's what she's waiting for. And that is God's plan. So the bride of Christ will not stand before. John chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's what we're talking about. They have everlasting life in them already. They will not be judged. Ephesians 5 and verse 27 is that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The bride of Christ or the church is presented as a holy bride, already for the marriage, already judged, already adorned in her wedding garments. This is the work of that precious, sweet Spirit that came down, the most Holy Spirit that came down. It's the perfect shadow of that is Genesis chapter 24. And if you have an opportunity to read that, read it. It talks about Abraham who's getting old and he wants to find a wife for his son Isaac. And he sends his servant into a faraway country to bring a wife for him. It's a perfect shadow of the most Holy Spirit going to get a bride for Jesus Christ. It's there. And he says, well, if I don't find it, should I bring Isaac over to that country? And he said, no, don't do it. If the bride won't come with you, then your obligation is fulfilled. But don't let my son go back there. Interesting, isn't it? Okay, I want to talk about where Jesus spoke about two resurrections. John chapter 5, and it's found from verse 25 to verse 29. Listen very carefully. Jesus speaks very clearly, and he wants us to understand it. And in the same verse, very easy to miss if you're just reading it. But it clearly defines the first and second resurrection. It says, the hour is coming, and now is, and we can discern between these two accounts, because the next one he says the hour is coming, it doesn't say now is. But this one he says, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they, this is the key, and they that hear shall live. It's not everybody, but those who hear the voice of the Son of God shall live. You know, Jesus was just about to give us a shadow of that in a few chapters beyond this in John chapter 11. We see that Jesus comes and is asked to come and pray for somebody who's sick. But that man, Lazarus, already died. And Martha came, his sister, to Jesus and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But then she said the strangest thing. She said, I know that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Hallelujah. She didn't want to say it openly, Lord, raise him from the dead. She just said, I believe whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you, Jesus. That I believe. And then Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And still she's afraid to believe. And she said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. If I was Martha, I couldn't have heard any better words than that. I believe that he'll rise in the resurrection the last day. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. There is no other one. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. But Jesus doesn't end it there. Then he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe that? That's what he asked. Do you believe thou this? Now is. Jesus gave that shadow of the first resurrection as he called out to the dead man. Just think about it. A guy named Lazarus was dead, already wrapped in grave clothes, put in a tomb and a stone covering it. And Jesus says, take away the stone. Interesting when you think about that. That's another thing too. Take away the stone. And then he says, he calls the guy's name. Now, if you were an unbeliever, you'd just stand there and say, you're calling the name of a dead man that can't hear you because he's dead. But Jesus called his name. Think about it for a second. It says, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out here. Come forth. Hallelujah. And you know what? The dead guy heard. Amen. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. 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 Oh my goodness. I can think of so many amazing, wonderful things. I want to hear that voice. Because even if I'm dead, I can hear it. Hallelujah. Glory. If you're dead and buried, you can still hear the voice of Jesus Christ calling your name, brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
How many want to hear his voice? Amen. You can today. Get used to it now. Get used to it now. Hallelujah. Lazarus, come forth. And out walks this guy wrapped completely up, face covered, everything. And he said, cut off those things from me. I would have loved to ask, Lazarus, did you really hear him? I'm here, aren't I? You know, the key of it is what we just said. If a man love me, he'll keep my words. Lazarus didn't only hear his voice, but he kept his words when Jesus says, come forth. He heard the voice and he obeyed it and rose from the dead and walked around. Hallelujah. If you don't listen to the words of Jesus, you don't care about what he said, you don't let that influence your life, then you're not going to be able to get out of the grave. You want to listen now, beloved? And then he says, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the first resurrection, isn't it? Because the Lord's going to descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet, and then the dead in Christ are going to rise first, then those that are alive and remain. And that's exactly what he's talking about. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. Talking about the first resurrection. And that's found in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which I highly recommend you go through in an entirety. Continue from John chapter 5. And it says, For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute judgment also. So now we're talking about life and judgment. Because he is the Son of Man, because he's endured, he walked on the earth, he endured this life and overcame sin for on our behalf. It really means that we have no excuse. Verse 28 says, "Marvel not at this, the hour is coming." Not in the same context as verse 25, because there is no now is. "In the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice." The last call. "And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." That is the second resurrection. When all the dead, or all the earth, will yield up its dead. The waters, the land, the sea, wherever. And that all those dead will be brought to the judgment seat of Christ. But something happens during the period between the first and the second resurrection, which I'm excited to talk to you about. But I don't think I'm going to be able to do that today. I'm so sorry that I really wanted to get through this. But I just get so excited talking about the resurrection. I just can't move around very, very well. So all the dead are going to participate in that resurrection, and all will stand before the judgment seat because the Father has given him authority to execute judgment. So what Jesus was talking about was his own position on the white throne of judgment during the second resurrection. The white throne of judgment is not in the first resurrection. The Bible doesn't declare it so, and it's not. But some people misunderstand it to be that. But the first resurrection is purely for the bride to be presented to the bridegroom. That the church, and it's the time of the Gentiles that's going to be finished. And then something's going to happen in Israel. Trouble is always there, but something beautiful is going to happen as well. And we'll look at the scriptures concerning that at another time. And so I want to close with this scripture today. John chapter 10, verse 24 to 31. It says, "Then came the Jews round about Jesus," round about him, "and said unto him, How long do you make us to doubt? If you are the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the promised one, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them. He said, "I told you, but you didn't believe. But the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you don't believe. Why? Because you are not of my sheep." That's where this scripture came. That our pastor used to quote, he put it in his book, one of the most critical scriptures that he embraced in his life. He said, "You don't believe because you are not my sheep. And I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." We can all understand what he means by sheep following the shepherd. They trust the shepherd. They know the voice. It says, come on, then we go. Because he's protecting, he's watching over us, he's leading us to a place that we can be satisfied if it's some water for our thirst, or the meadows for our hunger. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Who does he give eternal life to, beloved? The sheep, his sheep, that hear his voice and that follow him. And I give unto them eternal life. Oh my goodness, what a Savior. What a Savior. What a wonderful Savior. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's our safety, our shepherd. I and my Father are one. And then the Jews picked up the stones to throw. They wanted to kill him that very day. Can you believe that? But, beloved, that's exactly what's happening in these days. But what a wonderful thing to know. Because now is the time. Now's the time to hear his voice. Now's the time to know what he said. How much have we taught about what Jesus said about everything in life? What he said about everything. We know his voice. Let's follow him. Let's let him lead us to the green pastures. Read Psalm 23 again. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down. Glory, Jesus. How wonderful you are. I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you for your goodness and the promises that I have read, Father, that have come into my heart concerning your plan in this last time. Lord, I ask that you would awaken every fiber in my being and not let one iota of that being be deceived or become deadened to your word, to your spirit, to your love, to your power. Father, but cause your children to be alive today, to respond to your spirit's wooing and drawing them, to respond to your voice that's saying, come. Don't stay there. Don't do that. Don't be there. That's not safe for you. Come. Come and follow me. Father, we thank you that you are continually speaking to us, that you are not dead, that you are alive, that you are alive and your spirit is in us. Father, I ask you that you would cause us to awaken to this time, this hour, so that we may be prepared when that shout in the heavens takes place.